praise God. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah land, far below the storm of doubt upon the world is beating. Sons of men in battle long the enemy withstand. Safe am I within the castle of God's word retreating. Nothing then can reach me, 'tis Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God, I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah land. Let the stormy breezes blow, their cry cannot alarm me. I am safely sheltered here, protected by God's hand. Here the sun is always shining, here there's naught can harm me. I am safe forever in Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah land. Viewing here the works of God, I sink in contemplation. Hearing now his blessed voice, I see the way he planned. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn a full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah land. I'm feasting on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God, I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am dwelling in Beulah land. Amen, amen. Brother Romel, would you pray for us this morning? Yes.
Lord, please help us in our singing.
Yes.
In the hearing of your word. Lord, we have come today to give you the worship and
yes.
That is rightfully yours. We pray all of this in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody. Amen. Don't forget this evening, we have our... tonight we have our get-together for birthdays and anniversaries after the services tonight. So come on back after, you know, tonight and enjoy a little bit of fellowship and ice cream and cake and
amen.
All that good stuff. Amen. We're going to have a good time. We always do. Amen. Also, after the service this morning, we have our monthly meeting, and we're just going to update you on things that are going on as far as the pastor is concerned. And So if you're a member, please stay afterwards so we can talk. Let's see, what else do we have? Am I missing anything? Does anyone have something that we need to bring up? How about a scripture reading? We have a scripture reading this morning. Amen. Brother Mac.
I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cry unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pits. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For the angels, for his anger endures but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy faith, and I was troubled. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplications. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pits? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned from me my mountain, my mourning, into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and greeted me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever.
Amen. We have a couple of specials this morning, so Brother Johnny, could you come and bring your special? Amen.
Good morning, everyone. You know, whenever I go to a restaurant, or anyone of us go to a restaurant, there are three parts to a meal. That's the appetizer, the main course, and dessert. And nice spiritual meal that I've partaken of, my appetizer was my salvation. The main meal now is my walk with my Lord through this life. Oh, but the dessert is coming. Amen. The dessert is coming. And I can't wait. Because this is going to be good. And you know what? Our Lord, you know, our Lord just, he just sometimes just tickles me. But you know what? He makes us go through these trials and tribulations. That's part of the meal. But he's saving the best for last. And that is when we get to be with him for all eternity. Please.
That old ship of Zion was into heaven soared. Now the saints of all the ages will be home forevermore. Now there will be a celebration like this world has never known. For I know joy is waiting in my bright eternal home. But our best is yet to come when life raises one. In that old ship of Zion is a prophet. And I know we all agree that in the city we shall see that he's made the best for last. Oh, yes, I say the best is yet to come, as at that wedding feast in Cana, when our Lord turned water into wine. It was a miracle that happened. Listen, like when it changes the heart of mine. Now my cup is running over, and when my time down here is past, I'm going where my joy is waiting. God always saves the best for last. Oh, the best is yet to come, when life race is done. And it holds if the fire is a cafe. And I know we all agree that in that city we shall see that he saved the dead, the land.
Now let me tell you what my Lord has done for me. Praise God. You know, he's giving me blessings upon blessings. I'm in no need for anything. Now, I'm not a rich man by earth's standard, but I'm a child of heaven king. Now, time has been robbing me of my treasures, and my days are going by so fast. But his spirit says, child, remember, God always saves the best for last. Oh, the best is yet to come, when the race is run. And that old ship of Zion is a prophet. And I know we all agree that in that city we shall see that he saved the best, that he saved the best. My Jesus, now he saved the best. Oh, God. Yes, he is. Yes, he has. Watch it, watch it.
Amen. Amen. You know they don't make songs today. A lot of them. I mean, there are some good songs out there, that modern songs, but a lot of times they just repeat the words over and over and over again, and there's no meat, I'd say, you know. But I always listen to the words, because the words mean a lot. And so these old songs, they might be old, but they sure are good, you know, because the words mean something. They have life in them. Amen? Amen. Let's turn over to 392 for our offering hymn. And would you all rise, and if we could have a couple couple ushers come at the end of the song. There shall be showers of blessing, this is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Amen. Brother Roger.
Amen.
Our Father, again, so thankful for your many blessings. We thank you for your love and your watch care. We pray, Lord, that everything is done here today will be to glorify you. We thank you again for your unmerited grace. We thank you for your love, dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us. I pray, Lord, for our missionaries that you continue to guide and direct. We pray for them. Thank you so much that we have the ability to support them, Lord, with your grace. Again, thank you for everyone here today. We pray, Lord, that there's one that does not know Lord Jesus Christ, that they will come today and receive him in their hearts.
Yes.
Lord, that is the great mission of this church. Mm-hmm. We thank you again. We pread that you be with Brother George as he opens the bread of life to us.
Yes.
Hearts and minds will be tuned to your word. Amen. Again, thank you so much for guiding us and directing us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, we're going to have Zebia come up, and she's going to sing a wonderful song that the Lord's given her to sing for us. Amen.
Use me.
Just use me as I tell of Calvary. May thy spirit move within me, bringing souls to
Amen. That was a blessing. See what I mean? Those words, they don't touch your heart, then nothing will. That was beautiful. Amen. Amen. We're gonna have Pastor George come on up here, and I'm sure he has something that the Lord's given him that's gonna bless our heart also.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Stand with me and open to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 13 today. I have been limiting my messages for the morning services to the Gospels, because I do believe there is a need for every Bible-believing church to return back to true Christianity.
Amen.
True Christianity. Matthew chapter number 13. Please stand in honor of God's word. As you find your way to the book of Matthew, I make it a habit to remind myself and to remind every listener that the preaching of the Word of God is a divine act from a divine book about the divine God. I do not take preaching lightly. It is an honor to stand behind the pulpit. It is an honor to be able to open the Word of God and hear from the Holy God. Matthew chapter number 13, let's read a couple of verses, starting with verse 3, all the way to verse 22. Matthew 13, verse 3 says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up. Why? Because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 10, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said to them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." Slide down to verse 16. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. Verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Verse 23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let's pray. Father, I pray for the preaching and teaching of your word this morning. I pray for the moving of your Holy Spirit in the midst of your congregation. I pray for your filling. I pray for your forgiveness, that you will cleanse me of all my wickedness as I deliver your word. I pray that you'll hold the Holy Spirit will be the speaker this morning. Open up our hearts and our minds. For I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Matthew chapter, the book of Matthew is the first of the Gospels. And may I remind you that in each Gospel, Jesus Christ is presented differently. In the book of Matthew, Jesus Christ is presented as the King of the Jews, the long-awaited Messiah, ready to establish his kingdom on earth, but the Jews rejected him. In chapter 13, he talks about one of his parables. It's called the parable of the soil. Look at verse 11 with me. After he had delivered the parable, he begins to explain the meaning of the parable. But before he does so, he says in verse 11, he answered and said unto them, he was answering an inquiry of why did Christ have to speak in parables? You see, I was told that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So the disciples, according to verse 10, asked Jesus Christ, why you keep speaking in parables? Why can't you just speak plainly to us? Verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. He separates the audience. Jesus Christ says, the reason why I spoke in parables, number one, is because there were some among you who are not really believers. I present to you the three reasons for a parable. Number one, the purpose of it was to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, according to verse 11. But equally so in verse 13, you'll find that Jesus Christ spoke in parables, secondly, to hide things from those that were not there to believe. They were just there to criticize. They were there to find an error. They were there to find fault in him. Would you agree? Amen. The Pharisees, the Sadducees were standing right among the disciples, that the words that were coming out of Jesus Christ's mouth could be misinterpreted by these Pharisees and Sadducees. Therefore, he spoke in parables, not only to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, to his disciples, but also to hide its meaning from those that were there for the wrong reason. Thirdly, the third purpose of a parable, if it's not to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, if it's not to hide from those that are there for the wrong reason, the third purpose of a parable is to fulfill. Look at verse 15, or verse 14. He says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. It was a prophecy in the book of Isaiah. So you'll see the three reasons why Jesus Christ spoke in parables instead of speaking plainly is, number one, he wanted to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but he wanted to hide it from those who had the wrong motive, but then he also wanted to fulfill the Old Testament. You slide down to verse 17 with me. Verse 16, he says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Then he begins to explain the meaning of the parable. Verse 18, he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. He says, when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. You see, there are four possible results when a person hears the word of God preach. The first possibility is that you could hear the word of God and understand not the word of God. If you look at verse 19, it says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. So it is possible for men, for the listener, to hear the word of God being preached and taught and yet not understand what is being taught. And then he gives you the consequence and what happens when we hear the word of God and we don't understand what is being preached. He says, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. He says, this is he which receives seed by the wayside. See, the moment the Holy Spirit of God begins to speak to you through the preaching and teaching of God's word, if you don't understand, if there's confusion, see, God is not the author of confusion. The devil wants to get away, wants to overcomplicate the simplicity that is in Christ. If you're in Sunday school today, we're talking about the modern cults. I tell you, they don't simplify the word of God. They complicate things. But the first possibility when a person hears the word of God is that it is possible for you, for us, not to understand it. The second possibility is in verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Second possibility is that you may understand the word of God being preached. You may rejoice in it. Receive joy in it. But in verse 21, it says that if you are not grounded in the word of God, you may understand the preaching of God's word. But when persecution and tribulation comes because of the word, by and by he is offended. There goes the second possibility. If the first possibility being that you may not understand the preaching of the word of God, number two, you may understand it, but you may be offended by it. Verse 22. Let's look at the third possibility. The third possibility is this: he also to receive seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke that word, and he becometh unfruitful. The third possibility upon hearing and receiving the word of God in your life is that you may understand it, but you have so many things in your life that complicate the word of God. There are so many things in your life that's interfering with God's will, with God's will for you, with the message that God is trying to tell you. Maybe you're in church this morning physically, but your mind is somewhere else. Maybe you're trying to hear the preaching as we speak, but there are things that are bothering you. There are cares of this world that are bothering you. There are concerns that you're thinking about. Notice the consequence When the hearer hears the word of God and is yet choked out by the cares and the deceitfulness of riches, he becomes unfruitful. The third possibility. And then comes the fourth possibility, and it is the righteous possibility. But he, verse 23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. And the consequence, the result, when every person hears the word of God and understand it, is that he would begin to bear fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So it is possible for us to hear the word of God and understand it not. It is possible for us to hear the word of God and be offended by it. And it is possible for us to hear the word of God and be distracted by the affairs of this world. Amen? But can I reason with you this morning that you clarify your thoughts, you clear your mind, your heart of everything else that will interfere with the preaching and teaching of God's word. He says, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becometh unfruitful. That is the context of Matthew chapter 13. Now here's the message. The message is on the deceitfulness of riches. You see, the idea of riches, the topic of riches, is probably, if not one of the most talked about and discussed issue in the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. God deals with riches. And it's not so much that riches by itself is sin, but it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. Let's look at three men in the Bible that illustrates the trouble, the deceitfulness of riches. Go to Mark chapter 10 first. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. Some of you, or if not all of you, are familiar with this. The story of the rich young ruler. Amen? Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. Just to quickly go through this verses right here and be reminded about this rich young ruler. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus answers this young man. He said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not thy father and honor. Defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possession. The first story of a rich man is this rich young ruler. If you look at the life, the story of this rich young ruler, you'll understand that this young man had a right desire. He came to Jesus Christ, the Bible says, running and kneeling. He had the right intention. He had the right desire to find God, to find God's will for him, to be saved, that to know how to inherit eternal life. In verse 19, you'll find that he had the right knowledge. He was brought up in the law of God. In verse 20, he says, and he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth, talking about the law. This young man had the right desire. He had the right intention. He had the right knowledge. And he had the right practice. He said, I have observed all these from my youth. But in verse 22, after Christ had told him to sell what he has and give to the poor, and he will have treasure in heaven, he goes away sad and grieved. Why? For he had great possessions. You see, this young man had the right desire, right intention, right knowledge, right practice, but he had the wrong expectation. You see, his expectation was that Jesus Christ was going to let him keep his riches for himself and still be allowed to follow the Messiah. I present to you the first philosophy in life. The philosophy that one can be equally rich in material things and spiritual things. The truth is you can, but not without compromise. Now the next story of a rich man, for the sake of time, is found in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 16 now. The second rich man dealt with in the scripture is the rich fool. Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 16 with me. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He had a problem. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, retire. Amen? See, the life of this second rich man is that he had reached a point in his life when he was accomplished. And he was more than accomplished, he was stable. And he was more than stable, he had excess. He had so much excess that his own barn could not contain what he had, the things that he had, that he had to break down his barn and expand his barn, that way he may be able to obtain more stuff. How many of you can relate to that? Initially, you buy a 3-bedroom house, and you begin to stock up on material things, and all of a sudden that 3-bedroom house no longer fits, and you decide to look for a bigger house, only to find out that bigger house will be once again shrunk perspectively, and you begin to get a bigger house. And some people, they buy one house, not satisfied by it, buy a second house. Not satisfied by it, a third house. Some people buy buildings, looking for a fulfilling of that emptiness. Thinking that materiality will fill the void in our hearts. But this rich fool was warned. God said in verse 20, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Think about that question for a minute. You think you can carry your riches down to the grave? The Bible says, naked came I out. Of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The final rich man that we're going to look at is found in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. The rich man with Lazarus. Remember the story. Verse 19. Bible says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. Woo! And fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Verse 22, the rich man also died and was buried. See, this third rich man was at the end of his life. He had reached a point where he's no longer just owner of possessions, but he was filthy rich. That all he had to do was to sit on fine linen and eat day by day and consume. Actually, consume himself. And then he died. And the Bible says, in hell. Is that what it says? Verse 23. In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus into his bosom. And he cried, said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. I guess he cannot bring material things in hell. But here's my proposition. We see the story of the rich young ruler, and we ended with the account of him being grieved and being sad that Christ had asked him to give up his possession, and we never hear from that rich young ruler ever again. And then the next rich man that we see is the rich fool. And the characteristic of this rich fool is that he had possessions. He was more of a middle-aged man. He was at the stage of his life when he was about to retire, and he was just collecting things. And in the third story is the rich man with Lazarus who ended up in hell. Here's my proposition. None of these men are named. What if these three men are not three men but one? What if that rich young ruler, after he had said no to Jesus Christ, then went on with his life and began and continued to be rich? He reached the point of collecting possessions, of building barns and building greater barns and collecting more stuff for himself. What if that rich fool later on became that rich man who died with Lazarus, who had reached a point in his life where he was old and he was just feasting and he died and in hell he woke up? What if it's the same man? It may not be the same man, but if it is the same man, there's a lesson for us to learn. There's a lesson for us to learn. See, there's this three philosophies in life that you'll hear modern-day Christianity talk about. And here are these three philosophies. Philosophy number one that I've already mentioned, the philosophy that one can be equally rich in material things and spiritual things. But the truth is, you will know if you've lived this life long enough, and most of you have, you will know and you will agree with me that there will always be compromise between materiality and spirituality. That when you choose materiality, it is difficult not to compromise spirituality. It is difficult to serve God and mammon. It is difficult to have all kinds of riches and say that you're still living a holy life. Yes, it is possible, but it is difficult. There is the first philosophy. The second philosophy is this. I've heard this before. The second philosophy is this, that the richer a man has, the more he can help others. Hence, we should try to be rich. And looking at that philosophy, thinking about that philosophy, it sounds like it's right. See, that's the teaching of Joel Osteen. Of every televangelist, that's their teaching. That the richer a man is, and the more he has, the more he can help others. But you know what the truth is? The truth is, you don't need to be rich to be a blessing to someone. And the truth is, oftentimes, when your focus is on riches, you neglect to care for those that are in need. I'm not saying that rich people don't help other people. I'm saying there are a lot of rich people out there that are helping others. But I am telling you, there is a compromise in the mind and in the heart of everyone that wills to be rich. The third philosophy is this. That the modern world teaches Christianity. I'm not talking about outside of the church. I'm talking about inside of the church. And it is the third philosophy. And it is this. That a Christian's purpose in life is how to live a balanced, stable, and happy life. You look at the surface of that philosophy, and it sounds like it is a right philosophy. But can I remind you that the truth is, the will of God for every Christian is to bear fruit. Amen. Not to settle on earth. We are just pilgrims on a journey. And yet we are so distracted, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, our minds are so distracted, we're living our lives as if we're here to settle here forever. We lose track of heaven. We lose track of the destination of our soul. And the truth is, our design, our purpose is not to live here on earth. Our design and purpose is to live in heaven. And the purpose of the Christian life is not just to live a balanced and stable and happy life. The purpose of the Christian life is to be fruitful. To be a blessing, to live a holy life that is pleasing to God. Those three philosophies ruin a lot of Christians. The deceitfulness of riches. No wonder in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus Christ in this parable, he says, he that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. So he's speaking about somebody who has received the word. And I believe it is applicable to us because we have heard the word. The problem with most Christianity, the problem with us, is that the care of this world, the concerns of this world, the needs of this world hinder us from becoming unfruitful. As human beings, we have certain needs. The need of a dwelling house, the need of a companionship, the need of health care, the need of food and shelter and clothing. Those are basic needs. But oftentimes, those are not the ones that choke the word. Oftentimes in the lives of a Christian, the ones that choke the word, the word of God, are the concerns of the world that do not matter for eternity. Amen. He says the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becometh unfruitful. When I studied this message, I began to look at my life. I never preach a message that does not speak to me. Amen. I began to realize at first heard the calling of God to preach when I was 20. I got saved at the age of 20. A few months after, I heard the calling of God to preach. But I succumbed to the cares of the world. I had to listen to my parents who said, well, you first need to establish a career. You are going to have your own family. You need to feed them. Yes. In this world, it's a rat race. You need to conquer. You need to educate yourself. You need to make money and build a career. And I listened, because it seemed right for a man to provide for his own household. But I'm 37 now. That was 17 years ago. And I realize, and I've gone from earning a salary of $11.25 as a research associate for Pfizer to $35 an hour to $100 an hour to $120 an hour. And you know what I realized? It felt the same. It felt the same. And I realized that all of that focus on the concerns of the world was not really my concern. It was God's concern to feed me and care for me and care for my family. That when I was distracted by the concerns of the world, I realized that I was choking the word. I was becoming unfruitful. And then I understood this parable as it applied to me, that I received the word of God, I heard it, I understood it, that I must be bearing fruit. And many of you can probably relate with that. Some of you may have heard a calling of God to do a certain thing for him in his ministry some time ago when you were younger. And yet you were distracted. Maybe some of you are not saved today, but sometime in the past when you were younger, you heard the word of God preached and you did not listen. And maybe some of us, like me, have been distracted by the affairs and the concerns of this world. The question to us, church, if you are a Christian today, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, if you know you're saved today, the question is, have you been fruitful? Have you been fruitful? Please stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's examine ourselves. Let's examine ourselves and examine our lives. Go back to from the first time you heard the preaching of the Word of God, the first time you heard the gospel. Have you grown? Have you been fruitful? Or have you lived your life offended? Or have you lived your life distracted? Can I encourage you? It is not too late. It is not too late. It is never too late for God. Every head bow, every eye close. Maybe you're not saved today. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Make that decision. Maybe you've been backslidden for a while and you're now returning. Would you come this morning and settle your issues with God? Maybe you're looking for a church and you feel that this is where you belong. Would you make that decision this morning? Maybe God is calling you into the ministry to preach His word, to do something for Him, to go out door knocking, to go out witnessing, to teach a Sunday school class or whatever. Maybe God has laid a burden on you, but you have just ignored it. And God has spoken to you now. Would you come this morning? Would you come as the piano plays?
Let's turn over to
the altar is open.
540. Let's sing the verse.
Have thine own way, O Lord.
Sing one more verse, please.
One more verse.
The altar is still open. If you need to make a decision, just come. Ask your brother Mac if you could close us in prayer, sir.